T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I know you got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
NFL and NFL draft analyst at thedraftscout.com.
I gave him a 69 overall, so very nice grade for him.
Going through college and NFL film.
Jalen Johnson, he gets it. He's smart. He's tough. He's feisty. 6 foot, 193. Ran a 4.5 flat. He knew he needed labrum surgery. Went ahead and did the combine. Did the entire thing with a torn labrum. So I love this guy.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
On Fridays, we talk football with Matt Miller. He can help us preview the collegiate weekend, the NFL weekend, and talk about everything that's happening in this wild and wacky sport. We've had a few wilder or wackier weeks than the last one. Matt Miller is on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout, thedraftscout.com. He joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. So the dust has settled a bit now, Matt, and let's start with this strange college football environment. I retweeted your tweet where you just sort of stepped back and you said the Oklahoma job and the Notre Dame job are open because the coaches chose to leave for other jobs. And you said something like wild times or what a world or something like that. Indeed, you were right.
And it only got crazier from there, it feels like, right? I mean, we got Brian Kelly doing a fake Southern accent. We've got Notre Dame promoting a 35-year-old, you know, one-time defensive coordinator. It is crazy. And I think this is – people who cover college football, you know, it's like it's a different animal than the NFL because you don't have as much news that breaks that is going to dominate the headlines, right? Like news breaks and it's like, oh, Akron hired Joe Moorhead. That's a good hire. But people outside of – Oregon and Akron probably don't care. But this week was different because Lincoln Riley leaving to go to USC is national news. Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame for LSU is national news as well, honestly. So I think that's what made it such a fun week, especially for those people that cover it full-time, is you got to feel like Adam Schefter a little bit if you're Bruce Feldman or Pete Thamel where you're actually breaking this news. So it's crazy. And, you know, I love college football. It is my favorite sport out of all of them. And it's been fun to just kind of sit back and watch this, the change. You know, you're never going to convince me that Lincoln Riley's not afraid of the SEC, that he looked at the SEC and was like, I can't win the SEC with my offense and the fact that my defense sucks every year. Can't do it. You know where I could win? The Pac-12. Or that Brian Kelly says, you know what, I can make the playoff every year. I'm that good of a coach. Can't win it with the academic restrictions I have at Notre Dame or the fact that we don't play a conference schedule. Let's go to LSU. And I'm excited for those guys to get to those destinations, to see what Lincoln Riley can do with the athletes in Southern California, to see what Brian Kelly can do with the offensive defensive line recruits in Louisiana and Texas. It's going to be fun to watch and see how the landscape changes, especially for my job as far as, you know, NFL draft evaluation goes.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when it came to Lincoln Riley. To me, that said everything. And I know it was necessary for Texas and Oklahoma to join the SEC because of how we've seen recruiting in their direction. Like A&M joining the SEC had a marked effect on their recruiting. So to me, it was a domino effect of seeing what was going to happen after that. And I think Lincoln Riley was one of the first indications that this was effective.
Oh, yeah. And I can tell you, as a Texas fan, we're all sitting here wondering, like, why the hell do we hire Steve Sarkisian when Brian Kelly might have been available? Or, you know, like you see these guys move and you're like, okay, were they available a year ago? Because it seems like everybody is available if you're willing to pay $9.5 million a year. And so it will be, I think, fun, Layla. And whether it's the fear of the SEC or Brian Kelly realizing at 60 years old, that to get over that hump, to be a national championship winner, you're going to have to get to a different type of program. And I am excited for Marcus Freeman. I can remember scouting him when he was coming out of college even. So I'm excited to see what he builds at Notre Dame. I think it says a lot that the assistant coaches, by and large, stood by him for Tommy Rees to, you know, give that impassioned speech about, you know, we're staying here. We believe in this program. We believe in you as players. I think we're, you know, obviously we knew we were going to see a shift in college football with Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC and the domino effect that came from that. But, man, I feel like the Lincoln Riley hire and the Brian Kelly hire, we're going to see even more of a change, because whatever you think about those two gentlemen as coaches or human beings, they're really good at their jobs and they're really good at preparing players for the NFL. And so we are going to see a shift, and USC is going to be a force to reckon with. I think we can see that already with how many players have switched their commitment or reopened their recruiting. They're 2 years, USC is going to be dominating the Pac-12 again.
Meanwhile, the parity among the Power Five conferences, I think, continued last week. What did you see? What did you find out about the talent on display between Oklahoma State or Ohio State and Michigan? And then also what we saw as the result. I'm pretty sure Michigan fans will be celebrating that one for a while.
Yeah, but what you have to worry about is don't let that be your Super Bowl. You know, we saw that with Michigan State. They beat Michigan. That was a Super Bowl. They got beat the next week by Purdue, I think it was. You know, so you can't, and I think Jim Harbaugh knows that, but you can't let that be your defining win of the season. So they have a very tough Iowa team tomorrow that they better be buckled up for. But I think with Michigan, my biggest, like, impact statement from that game was, this Michigan team's a lot tougher than I'm used to seeing Michigan teams be. You know, Hassan Haskins, it's a beast at running back, and their offensive line doesn't have, you know, the first-round recruits and the top players, but they're a really strong unit. Stuber, their right tackle, had a great game against Ohio State. And they just play such an aggressive brand of football, especially, you know, on defense. You can look at Aiden Hutchinson, who I hope Dan is voting for Heisman. David Ojabo had a great game. Daxton Hill at safety had a great game. They're just a much more physical Michigan team, and I think Ohio State, it's not a knock on them to say they were kind of a finesse team this year. They lost some of that toughness that we were used to in the run game. It's a slower linebacking corps. Like, they just, you know, we saw it against Oregon. We saw it against Michigan. They're a good team, but they're not a great team this year. And I think that the physicalness of Michigan in the snow at home was a huge difference maker.
Are you mentioned Heisman, and I am trying to get this figured out. I know we have Joe Ostrowski coming up next to talk about sports wagering, and this is not something, obviously, as a voter, I'm pretty sure in the fine print it says I'm not allowed. I don't wager anyway, but I don't mind talking about some of this because I'm just trying to be as fair and objective as possible, trying to get it right. Do you really think Aiden Hutchinson should win the Heisman?
It should be him or Will Anderson, the pass rusher from Alabama. I mean, I think you could probably pick one at this point. Like, no offensive player has played well enough to warrant the Heisman. I mean, you're a voter, I'm not. But the fine print on that thing says, who is the most outstanding player in college football this season? In my opinion, it's not Bryce Young, it's not CJ Stroud, it's not Kenny Pickett. If we're being honest and saying who is the most outstanding player in college football, it's Aiden Hutchinson or Will Anderson. And I think that is my biggest complaint with the Heisman, and not with you, Dan, but with Heisman voters in general, is that they are so set in their ways that they refuse to look outside the box. Instead, it's people who get in a room and say, who's the best quarterback or running back east of the Mississippi, and that, or east of the Rocky Mountains. I'll throw my stretch of land in the country is included in that. But, you know, for the most part, it is an Eastern to Midwest bias, and it goes to the quarterback, running back, or wide receiver. If you watched Aiden Hutchinson against Ohio State last week, where he had like 19 pressures against a left tackle from Ohio State who had given up one sack in his career. He was a five-star recruit, the top offensive tackle in his recruiting class. He shut down George Karloftis from Purdue. He had given up one freaking sack, and Aiden Hutchinson made him look like a walk-on. Like, that to me is your Heisman moment. That's your defining game of a player single-handedly altering the shape of college football this season. Like, to me, that's a Heisman winner.
I want to also talk about Rookie of the Year for a second, because there's a school of thought that Micah Parsons might have bested Mac Jones in the performance he had last night and just what he's been able to put together. I still think Mac Jones is the favorite, but it's worth discussing. What have you seen out of the both of them, and then also just the rookie class in the NFL based on what you know from before?
it's kind of similar to the Heisman conversation, right? Like, are we really going to give this to the best rookie, or are we going to give it to the best rookie quarterback? And Mac Jones has played phenomenal football. Like, they won six straight. I mean, they're playing great ball. And he deserves to be the offensive rookie of the year. To be the actual rookie of the year, Micah Parsons might lead the NFL in sacks. I mean, he has 10 sacks. He has a chance to go 10 sacks, 100 tackles, which doesn't happen. So in my mind, like, he should be considered one of two favorites right now. And Ja'Marr Chase is in the conversation as well. But if Micah Parsons gets 10 sacks, 100 tackles, I believe he will be like the third player ever to do that, or at least the third player since the 90s to do that. So like, that in itself has to be like, oh my gosh, let's talk about the stats he's putting up. But then there's also plays like last night where he's running downfield, covering Kenny Stills, breaking up a pass that gets intercepted. Like, there's so many more plays like that where he is the impact player, even if it doesn't necessarily show up in the tackles or stats, you know, sack sheet for him. So I think Micah Parsons is amazing. You know, it's a flashback to what he was 2 years ago at Penn State. You know, last year he opted out, and it's crazy just how well he's adapted. And I give Dan Quinn a lot of credit for realizing his talent as a pass rusher and saying, you know what, like, you were drafted to be an off-ball linebacker, but we're going to let you rush the quarterback quite a bit. And he's been great there. So I think Mac probably takes home offensive rookie of the year, but you know, this race for defensive rookie, we've seen it before. I remember the year Dak Prescott won it, when Zeke probably should have. The same team, maybe they split some votes, but like, Zeke probably should have won it that year. But you know, the tie goes to the quarterback in these awards.
I heard this being discussed earlier on the Mully and Haw show on The Score, and it was the idea of Justin Fields with his broken ribs being the Bears' backup quarterback potentially this week. And I'm trying to figure out the coaching philosophy or developmental managerial philosophy behind that. That if this guy is that badly hurt that you're going to put the flak jacket on him, and it's every cliche we hear about, it hurts to sneeze, it hurts to breathe, it hurts to laugh, what are you gaining by having him available to come in if Andy Dalton gets knocked out? I'm not quite sure what the calculation is here, rather than just saying, kid, thanks for practicing, but get healthy, be safe. We put it in their head that you might practice, and now we took up a little of their practice time, whatever, and now Nick Foles is just going to be the backup.
It makes no sense to me, and that's where I was going to go with this. You have Nick Foles. It's not like this is a destitute team who you're going to have to put Darnell Mooney at wide receiver because you only have two quarterbacks. It's not that situation. So this makes no sense at all to me. If you're hurt enough to not start, you're hurt enough to not play. It should be that simple. And I think we saw Miami do this with Tua as well. Where it's like, oh, he's hurt, he's not going to start. He ended up in the game in like the second quarter. It makes no sense at all. Like, put the guy out there. If he's healthy enough to be the number two, he's healthy enough to play. But, you know, it goes down. And I think, you know, you guys will eventually do a great postmortem on the Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy era, and this will be a small blip in it. But it's just one of those head scratching, like, what the hell are you doing? Like, what like, message are you trying to send? Or, like, what are you trying to, like, propaganda into this situation of, like, oh, no, he's hurt, but maybe he'll play? Like, so many of the things that they do just don't make sense to me. And I think they don't make sense to you guys, and they don't make sense to the fan base. And that's why it's hard to like garner any support for them, because they do dumb things like this where you're like, why? Like, what? Why is this the philosophy of, oh, well, he's hurt, Andy's going to start, but if Andy gets hurt, we'll put him in, even though he has cracked ribs that weren't cracked initially and now are. It just, again, it's just the Bears, man.
I also like that people are calling him cracked. Like, that's just a cute term for broken. They're broken ribs. Like, when you have a cracked leg, you have a broken leg. So I always giggle at that.
Very good point.
Yeah, we haven't talked a lot about this weekend's slate of games as far as not just Heisman contention, but also some expectations that we're seeing. Georgia-Alabama, SEC championship game. I mean, that's the heavy hitter here. How excited are you for that one? And then also, I am very excited to see Michigan-Iowa. And then, of course, what I call the People's Conference Championship, University of Houston against Cincinnati. But let's start with the SEC.
SEC, I mean, that's the one, right? That's the one that everybody's going to be dialed in on. It has like 47 prospects, I think is what I counted, draft prospects that I'll be having to evaluate over the next 3 months rewatching that game. But I think it's a, you know, an interesting tale of two very different teams. You know, Georgia has one of the best defenses I've ever seen. They have a great running attack, you know, that's really like a three-headed monster. But they've basically been a rotation at quarterback, you know, a couple different guys in there. And then you have Alabama with this superstar quarterback who has struggled at times, a defense that looks tired, and an offense that, you know, last week took them four quarters to finally figure things out. So I think that is the interesting subplot here is Alabama's offense has struggled lately, and Georgia has the best defense that anyone's seen since, like, 2001 Miami. So that is the tale of the game is, can Nick Saban get that offense going? Can they score enough points? Because Georgia doesn't – they don't allow. You know, I think they've allowed 81 points on the season. Like, they're not letting you go out there and score. So that's the big thing to me is, like, has Alabama almost been, like, holding something back? Do they you know, to be cliche, do they completely open the playbook up tomorrow? Because they're going to have to do something to get one over on Georgia.
It's funny. We were just talking about that. Are the Bears going to do that? You know, BetQL right now gives the Bears a 22.7% chance to beat the Cardinals. And I'm thinking, like you say, open the playbook. This, to me, stacks up as one of those what-the-hell games.
Oh, I mean, both the Alabama, Georgia, and Arizona, Chicago games. They both do. Arizona's got Kyler Murray coming back, coming off the bye. Yeah, but I do think Alabama, Georgia has a chance to be what I will consider a great game, but what I think a lot of casual fans, it's going to be one of those probably like 17, 13 games. It's just most people find boring as hell. It's only going to take 3 hours, but, you know, the rest of us are like geeking out over, you know, run schemes and how people, you know, linebackers are filling their gaps. But there is just so much talent between those two teams that it is truly like if you are already looking ahead to the 2022 draft, it is a must-watch game.
We also want to remind you it is Window Works Bears Friday here on The Score with half price savings at mywindowworks.com. And I want to also ask you quickly, because I know we're running out of time, you just did another mock draft. Is there anything you learned in this version that you didn't see in the first two?
No, I think what's happening right now, Layla, is like the draft order is dominated by three teams. The Jets have back-to-back picks in the top 10. The Giants have back-to-back picks in the top 10. The Eagles have back-to-back picks in the top 10, but also have three of the top 15. So what you're seeing are teams that really have a chance to load up with, you know, top-tier players. You know, top 15 picks should be year-one impact players. So they have a great opportunity to really turn three franchises around that haven't been very good. The other thing is that, you know, the quarterbacks continue to fall. Even when you try to account for someone's going to overdraft a quarterback, the first one I had coming off the board was at number 8 overall. So while there are a lot of quarterbacks in this three-round mock draft, there aren't many drafted very highly.
We finally reached that point then, because, you know, my theory is by the time the draft rolls around, they're going to rise. And it just happens. Like even guys who, you know, right now kind of suck, they will be they'll be overdrafted because enough people talk themselves into them. Is this going to be the outlier year, or are teams learning their lesson saying don't get caught up?
No, I don't think it will be the outlier year. I think teams are going to find a redeeming quality in each of these players, which they do have. You know, with Desmond Ridder, you can look at the experience, the dual threat nature, you know, the arm talent, and you're going to overlook that his accuracy is kind of spotty at times. And, you know, with Malik Willis, you're going to say his best receiver is a, you know, 5'7" white kid who I think is a freshman. Like, okay, well, he's not playing with Alabama's wide receiver core. So you're going to assume that he's going to be better with better competition or better talent around him. You know, Matt Corral's had a very good year at Ole Miss. Sam Howell started slowly, but really came back. Kenny Pickett, despite having 8-inch hands, has been phenomenal, you know, rocking the two gloves for Pitt. So I think each quarterback has a redeeming quality that.
And that's not a Heisman candidate for you?
Needs one.
Kenny Pickett, not a Heisman consideration?
He should be in New York. Like, he should get some votes. I don't think he's the best player in college football. If you could start a college football team right now, Dan, with any player in the country, where's Kenny Pickett on your list?
Not high.
Exactly. So he's not a Heisman Trophy winner. Like, maybe we overcomplicate
different things, though. Those are
performance. Oh, he's a quarterback.
I know, but performance in college is different than whether or not I want you to be on my NFL team.
Oh, but even if you were starting a college team, you wouldn't pick Kenny Pickett to be your quarterback? No. There's no way.
No, I wouldn't. You're right.
Love Kenny Pickett, though. He's a great kid. He really is.
You don't like Kenny Pickett. I can tell. That was a perfunctory there. Love Kenny Pickett. Have a great weekend, and thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
Thanks, Matt.
That's Matt Miller. Boy, do we have a long list of stuff to talk to Joe Ostrowski about as he sets up your wagertainment weekend next on The Score.
I have a daily sports betting show.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of Herbert Hoover in him. I got to tell you that much.
You got a lot to do this weekend. Let's get you the absolute best information right now on the Bernstein and Rahimi Show with Joe Ostrowski. He's on Twitter at Joe Ostrowski. He's the host not only of Early Odds, but also of BetQL Daily. And I know you've heard me talk about BetQL before, but make sure you download that app because it is really important to be as informed as you can possibly be. And the cool thing about BetQL is after you download the app, it gives you access to much of the information that the odds makers don't necessarily want you to have. It's a high level of analysis that gives you percentage possibilities on both sides of these equations, and it gives you a star rating on each bet and tells you why a certain bet is rated as a five-star bet. And over the years, I know you've heard a lot of people tell you about the lock of the week or the can't miss this. And so much of it for years, frankly, has been some idiot with a pinky ring just trying to make money on both sides and screaming at you. And that's not what this is. A BetQL is proven analysis for an intelligent better to try to make really informed decisions. And I think it has really set it apart from the pack. Joe Ostrowski joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What's happening, man?
Dan, Layla, I'm excited for this weekend. There's a lot going on, and it was strange. As you mentioned, I was co-hosting BetQL Daily a couple hours ago, and at half the legal sports books that we have in Illinois, the line started moving in favor of the Bears, and I couldn't quite figure it out. I was thinking, okay, I'm going to talk to Dan Leal. I'm going to try to come up with a case for the Bears, and I'm having a tough time doing that. But the line moved from Arizona -7.5 down to the key number of 7. So I was curious about that. I reached out to the people at Points, but I'm like, okay, what's happening here? They're still at 7.5. They said 78% of the bets are on the Cardinals. 91% of the money is on the Cardinals, and they asked their traders for a quote on this game, and their thought is they are not believing in the likelihood that Kyler Murray won't play. The game is too important to the Cardinals, their one seed aspirations, and Kyler has had enough time on the sidelines that they are confident he's going to play. We'll probably find that out in a couple hours. And they also noted that they have yet to take any sharp action on the Bears, which is a good indicator that there's some sort of news out there, a possibility that Kyler Murray is not going to play. So we it's been a month of game time decision, but everything is pointing to Kyler Murray playing in this game. So, but when I hear bettors, media members, everybody all in on Arizona or one side of a game, I try to come up with a case for the other side. And I don't know, you'll probably tell me it's some garbage, because it is. It really has nothing to do with the Bears. It's all about the Arizona side, because there's the possibility of a rusty Kyler after not playing for a month. Cliff Kingsbury, historically, in the second half of seasons, his teams tend to slide. I mean, this goes back to his college years. If you look at the second half, you know, things go down, and maybe that's not going to happen this year. This is a trend that we've seen this season. Teams coming off the bye have not performed well. They are 2-8-1 against the spread. Could be some inflated lines, so the underdogs end up covering. There's that. Cardinals, they are dead last on defense in explosive run rate. The one thing the Bears are all right at is running the football. I guess you could make a case there, but at the end of the day, I just look at this quarterback discrepancy between when Kyler's healthy, he should be the favorite for the MVP. That's how good he's played this year. And the Bears have a bottom three quarterback, no matter which guy it ends up being, whether we're talking about Fields or Dalton. They are a blitz-heavy team. And against the blitz, Dalton ranks 30th, according to PFF. Fields, 32nd, according to PFF. And what really strikes me about this game is the last 3 weeks, Big Ben, Huntley, Goff, three of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. And now you've got Kyler Murray and Aaron Rodgers next week. So I don't think it's going to be pretty for the Bears.
Yeah, and the two best records in the NFL currently at that as well.
Yeah.
I think it might have to do with a couple factors. Too many points at home, perhaps, and rain in the forecast.
Yes, the weather could be there. Now, Arizona also happens to be the best team in the NFL on the road this year. They're undefeated, 6-0. and they've covered all six of those games. Bears 4-7 against the spread. The only team that is worse than the Bears against the spread is the lowly Jets. And I know there's been so much focus on the injury report for the Cardinals side, but what about the Bears side?
Terrible.
Their best players on defense are out, and their best weapons on offense appear to be out. We'll find out officially, usually comes out about an hour from now. But I am having a tough time coming up with a case to back the Bears outside of just a rusty Kyler Murray.
Sometimes we look at potential letdown games, and I know that the people who do this for a living and who are good at doing it as an avocation will look at the peripherals, the travel involved, the timing involved. So when I look at Michigan and Iowa, and I see that Michigan's got to go to Iowa, big deal. It's not a travel issue. It's a 3 o'clock central game, which also shouldn't be that big a deal, and yet Iowa's getting 10.5 points, and they're plus 360 on the money line. If you are a believer in a team coming off a huge, emotional, once-in-a-decade kind of win and maybe having to slog one out, doesn't this one feel like that?
There are two situations like that tomorrow. It's not only with Michigan, and Harbaugh finally gets it done. They rush the field, the whole thing. Oklahoma State, too. With Bedlam last week. So how do you bounce back? Are the players feeling themselves after finally slaying the dragon? I hear where you're coming from, and it was my first thought too. How do you get back up? And not only, like you mentioned, the point spread. Now, not only do you have to win the Big Ten championship, but I've got to win by at least 11 points. The thing is with Iowa, they can't move the football. They are so bad offensively. And the Hawkeyes' defense is going to be much better than what we saw out of Ohio State. They're going to be more disciplined. They're not going to let Michigan run all over them. But the problem is, how many points are they going to be able to score? If you look at metrics like EPA per play, the Iowa offense is 123rd in the nation. I mean, they're down there with what we saw out of Northwestern this year. So it is amazing to think at one point this year, Iowa was number 2 in the country. But I don't think Michigan has this letdown. What is interesting, Dan, is for people that don't have a dog in the fight, for this weekend, a lot of them want the chaos. They want the committee to be in a bad spot, make some tough decisions. Since 2017, if we're excluding the Pac-12, since 2017, what we see is the favorites are winning on these Saturdays. Favorites are 16-0 straight up on championship Saturday since 2017.
I also want to put you on the spot a little bit because it's something I brought up with Matt Miller earlier in the segment just before this. The rookie of the year odds in the NFL. Was there any change? Because we're seeing some places rank Micah Parsons now ahead of Mac Jones. I still think it's probably Mac Jones, but I figured I would ask you.
Yes. So you've got, as far as the betting markets, you can do the offensive rookie of the year or the defensive rookie of the year. And I think they both seem to be really done at this point. So if we go offensive, so Mac Jones is the minus 260 favorite. At one point, Ja'Marr Chase was the favorite, but over the last month, he is not done. I mean, he's been averaging around 50, 60 yards per game. And then there's an immense drop off down to Najee Harris at 50-1. So Mac Jones, 6 consecutive wins. There's a chance they could beat the Buffalo Bills for the AFC East. As long as Mac Jones stays healthy, I don't see any way that award is taken from him. And Micah Parsons is a much bigger favorite for defensive rookie of the year. There seems to be no competition there, really. I mean, Patrick Surtain has been brought up. He had a couple of picks last week for the Broncos.
Yeah, but very nice game.
Yeah. You know, we were talking this morning on the show, Layla, is Parsons has been so impressive. Rookies, like offensive rookie of the year, you're not going to get the MVP, right? It's going to go, Brady's your favorite right now, to go to one of those guys. But what about defensive player of the year? Myles Garrett is the favorite right now. He could get up to 20 sacks, but look at what Parsons has done for Dallas. I mean, that defense was a complete joke last year. So some are wondering if Parsons can get into that conversation. He's around 20-25-1 for defensive player of the year overall.
Now do Heisman.
You didn't submit your vote, did you?
I have not. I can't yet. There's too much that can happen.
Dan is crowdsourcing. Don't be fooled.
Well, I'm trying to get it right.
I'm trying to figure it out. Here's the thing. I hope nobody sent their vote in. How could you possibly send it in? Now, the odds tell us that Bryce Young is a favorite right now. And what we've seen in recent seasons is, with the exception, we have to go back to 2016 with Lamar Jackson. You need to make the playoff. Well, if Bama loses, they're probably out of the playoff. Or it would have to be a one-score game for the committee to say, let's see Georgia-Bama 1-4 in that first playoff game. C.J. Stroud is the second favorite at plus 450, Dan. Well, they're not going to make the playoff.
No.
It looks like Michigan's in. Can a defensive player win it in 2021? We haven't seen this since Charles Woodson in 1997.
Why shouldn't one?
I agree with you.
Because it's the focus of the last 20 years has been to offense and college.
I personally have defaulted to quarterbacks because of meaning.
Sure.
In general, I've said there's an outsized meaning and responsibility, and I've always tended to look for quarterbacks because of how important they are. And that's just a fact. But this year, it's hard to do that.
However, when I look at Bryce Young's stats, I didn't realize they were that good. When I see 40 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, it was alarming to me. But if they're not in the playoff and their inconsistency on offense down the stretch of the season and all these close games against these SEC teams, which we found out were not that good, he doesn't seem like the runaway favorite. He's minus 220. I don't really buy into that. Aiden Hutchinson, what he did. Didn't that feel like the Heisman moment of the season last week? 3 sacks, 15 quarterback pressures. Since they started tracking that, that's the most we've ever seen. And now he's going against Iowa, prime time. Everybody's going to be watching that game against a bad offense. What if he repeats that? What if he gets 3 more sacks? I know Matt Miller was talking about Will Anderson. Well, Aiden Hutchinson right now is 16-1, and Will Anderson's 30-1. I think those are worth a shot because nobody knows the winner. What would you do right now if we didn't have this weekend to work off of? Would you go Bryce Young?
If we didn't have this weekend, I think narrowly the answer would be yes. I wouldn't feel great about it, but I'd feel good enough about it.
But you're not willing to say, oh, defensive player, I can't. No, they're
no, I would never. No, I'm not going to say I can, especially not this year. I don't think that would be fair. They're all football players, and it would take something historic and special, perhaps. And maybe it's sort of like the pitching win that it took several years for voters for the Cy Young to appreciate that it didn't really matter anymore. And maybe it's just part of it taking time.
And we thought last year was up for grabs. We didn't realize it was going to be Devontae Smith's award until a couple weeks left. We're going into championship Saturday, and we have no idea. No idea. So, I mean, with all that value there on Hutchinson and maybe even Will Anderson, I would take a shot because nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going to happen here.
And then for NFL, we've had some fun with the unders. I'm just going to assume the Bears are going to not score whatever their expected amount of points is, even though Andy Dalton's running the offense, which led me to have 21 points in my prediction on 670 the score. But as far as the NFL games are concerned in general, are there any lines that stick out to you? Because I have a feeling that last week had a heck of a lot of unders based on the scoring that we saw.
Last week was so strange because we had a lot of point spreads that were very close. And this week, we have a lot of road teams, including the Cardinals, that are favored by more than a touchdown. A lot of big spreads. The ones that jump out to me, Sunday Night Football, the narrative that is just out of control in the sports betting world, it has been for years, is Andy Reid off the bye. And he's great. He's 19-3 straight up in his career in the regular season off the bye. But the number is 9.5. The Chiefs look a lot better. They're no longer the worst defense in the NFL. Mahomes isn't turning it over like he was early on in the season. But in a divisional matchup, for them to be favored by 9.5, 10 points, that's too much for me. And Teddy Bridgewater, his record against the spread is remarkable. On the road in his career, he is 24-5 against the spread. 42-18 in all the games combined. This is not a terrible team. I think they can hang around, keep it somewhat close. So I like the Broncos getting 9.5 points. And the other primetime matchup is going to be a great one. We have to wait until Monday. But we talked about Mac Jones. We've got the Patriots at the Bills. A lot of sharp bettors are buying in on New England. This market has really moved. The point spread is only 2.5. It was 3.5 earlier on in the week. The big story there is the weather. Total keeps dropping. They're talking wind gusts 25 to 30 miles per hour on Monday night. But I think you're getting the Buffalo Bills at a discount here at -2.5. But that's by far the best game of the week.
Joe Ostrowski, appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Dan and Layla. Early odds, 8 a.m. tomorrow.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Ostrowski's segment brought to you by PointsBet. When we come back, you say that you've been paying more attention to TV weather reports lately.
Yes. I mean, because I come on after them. But yes.
So you're waiting for your cue. We have a weatherman doing the impossible. And I'll explain why he accomplished the impossible in just a moment on the score.
I really believe there is an advantage to Bears weather.
All right, so Welch came up in our pre-show meeting, because when does it not? It's the easiest language to speak, right? There's only 95 letters per word and no vowels. I don't know how it came up. Oh, that's right.
It came up because it came because of us, and we were talking about, like you say, Chicago pronunciations of Jim Harbaugh sometimes being Jim Harbaugh.
Right, but it actually could be a nod to how the language was previously spoken. Kind of like French-Canadian. At one point, the language was spoken like that.
So we started...
Combined with others.
We started looking it up, and we're just saying, like, what is the name? Like, we got to Sammy Baugh, and that Baugh came from Bach, or Bach from the Welsh. And then we just sort of rabbit-holed the whole thing.
Right, because Welsh is odd. Mm-hmm. It's one of those languages that is an art to know how to speak, and stopped early in its development, hence why there's many, many letters per word and no vowels, which burns my brain. But it reminded me of the weatherman in England, or somewhere in the British Isles, who correctly nailed the pronunciation of a Welsh town with how many letters?
Let me spell it. Can I spell it out letter for letter real quick?
Let Do you count. Want to?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to spell it out. This is a village in northwest Wales. The village is spelled as follows. LLANFAIRPWLLGWYNGYLLGOGERYCHWYRNDROBLLANTYSILIOGOGOCH.
More residents or letters in the name?
But that's the name of the town.
58 letters. 58.
And I take you to Channel 4 News and an absolutely flawless pronunciation of that.
Now today we had a big contrast in temperature across the UK, just 12 degrees over coastal parts of eastern England with cloudy skies, but in the sunshine in northwest Wales at RAF Mona, just up the road from Llanfair Pwllgwyng, Llangollen Quindrobwll, Llantysilio Gogogoch, the temperature got to 21 Celsius at 70 in Fahrenheit.
I can't say simple words.
Dude.
Come on. It went viral years ago.
Yeah.
But it's always fun to bring up whenever something like this comes up, because he nailed it.
Just up the road from Llanfair Pwllgwyng, Llangollen Quindrobwll, Llantysilio Gogogoch.
At some point, someone in the town, some...
That's a man having a stroke.
Some elder, somebody on the planning committee somewhere, they can sit down and say, can we just call it West Ipswich?
No, hold on.
Or something.
I've got the new bowl game, guys. It's no longer about the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl. No, it's about...
Just up the road from Llanfair Pwllgwyng, Llangollen Quindrobwll, Llantysilio Gogogoch.
That should be the new bowl game. That's how you stop these bowl games from happening.
Transition comes your way next on this Friday on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.